We are back with chapter 7. We spoke about people analytics, and now we'll be speaking about people analytics matrix. Now, this particular is a bit lengthier, so we'll skip certain places. However, we'll focus on the main matrices that is required to it. So let's start with the introduction. People analytics is the evidence-based practice of getting actionable insights from data to help people and organizations thrive. It involves the use of data and statistical analysis to make informed decisions about managing an organization's workforce effectively. And most importantly, it encompasses gathering, analyzing, and interpreting the data related to HR processes, employee behaviors, and organizational outcomes. By applying analytical techniques to HR data, organizations can give insights into employee performance, in engagement, retention, and the critical aspects of workforce management. People analytics can transform organizations by surfacing subtle barriers to success, optimizing conditions for sustained effectiveness, and increasing shareholder value. The importance of the future of work, employee well-being, and candidate of employee experience, worker productivity, collaboration, DEI, belonging, retention of critical talent, has resulted in company making growth investments in people analytics. Ability to think critically and reasoning through the data to properly frame problems and theoretical explanations are perhaps the most essential skills for success in people analytics. Reasons why companies invest: scarcity of skilled human resources. I told you before also, there are very less number of skilled human resources who can understand people analytics. Let me put it very clearly. And when I say skilled human resources, it means the person who understands the people dynamics. Availability of data. The data today are much cheaper and available through many sources, including data about people, cheaper and more powerful hardware processing power and growing. Rapid technological advancement and innovations and data-driven decision-making are the key things. Now, they're principally, the first thing is analytical thinking. So, when I'm looking at a data, you have to understand the analytics of it. What is the data? Why is the data? Why not this? Why not that? If I'm representing the data in this way, what should the CEO's vision should be? How would the CHRO look into that data? When they're presenting it to the stakeholders of the company or the promoters of the company, how will they interpret of it? I'm giving you a simple example. When I was working as a director of LNOD for a company, and I had a review with the promoters of the company, I had the data of, number of people trained versus number of people retained versus number of people trained per day, number of investment cost versus the actual cost, number of people retained during the first 90 days. After putting all these things, he said one line, "Gabriel, what's my ROI? This is the salary of your team. This is the cost of your team. Tell me what percentage of this has been invested in the return." So my entire analytical thought process went downside. Why? Because I did not think through that at promoter level, he will look for return. Second is employee first. Employee first philosophy requires that the findings be discussed with HR, legal, and privacy counsel to determine the way forward. Data quality and integrity never compromise. Quality under pressure to analyze and present information quickly. It may cause huge users of the findings to suspect or cause for problem. This is a kind of a proverb, analytical priority. When everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority. You have to choose something. Concepts of people analytics, we've spoken about it, but just for a highlight, data collection and data preparation. So collecting relevant data from relevant sources, it may include employee demographics, performance evaluation, training records, time and attendance logs, compensation and employee survey feedback. Collect data from external sources, social media, job boards, industry benchmarks, maybe incorporated for a broader perspective. Data would normally be organized in various data tables for different types, such as basic information, turnover trends, past 5 years, survey responses, performance review, training and development, HR functions, recruitment. It is essential to ensure the reliability of the data source before collecting it. Without it, AI can't work. Data will be cleaned. Anomalies and outliers will be discovered and removed. Missing values will either be imputed or the records will be eliminated. Simple. Data quality and reliability has to be ensured. Protection of the data, collection of the data, collecting it from the external sources, social media, job boards, industry benchmarks. Data would normally be organized in various data tables with the information turnover trends and survey responses. Ensure the reliability of the data source before collecting the data. It will be cleaned, ensure data quality and reliability. Once the data is collected, then it should be cleaned and prepared. It is analyzed using statistical methods, machine learning algorithms, and other analytical techniques to identify patterns and trends. Predictive analysis, people analytics often involve predictive modeling to forecast future outcomes such as employee turnover, performance, and engagement. By analyzing historical data, identifying key predictors, and organizations can proactively address potential issues before they escalate. They are not saying it will not happen, but before it gets escalated, I can do a proactive approach to handle it. Again, recruitment and selection, big thing of analytics, identifying the most effective sourcing channels, assessing the effective job advertisements, predicting candidate success, past hiring processes, what was there, how do I improve the quality of the hires, all part of this. Performance management, people analytics enables organization to assess employee performances objectively by analyzing various performance metrics, identifying areas for improvement. By tracking performance and trends over time, HR professionals can provide targeted coaching and development interventions to enhance individual and team performance. Again, employee engagement and retention, understanding the factors. Analytics will allow HRs to identify drivers of engagement. We spoke about individual drivers, organizational drivers. By identifying at-risk employees and addressing their concerns proactively, organizations can retain or reduce the turnover. Diversity and inclusion. Analytics plays a crucial role in promoting diversity and inclusion within the workforce by tracking demographic data and monitoring diversity matrix. Identifying disparities in hiring, promotion, retention, organizations can implement strategies to foster a more inclusive and equitable work environment. Organizational development, typically it is like aligning the HR strategies with the business objectives or aligning the HR strategies with the business goals by providing complete insight with workforce capabilities, competences, skill gaps, and succession planning. By identifying skill shortages and talent development opportunities, companies can optimize their training and development program to build a more agile and resilient workforce. You know, in this point, I want to highlight a pointer. Companies today are looking more as a learning philosophy. They are moving out of learning programs. I have a leadership program. No. Can you create a learning journey? Can you create a learning philosophy? Can you create a learning strategy which will work year after year with one single thing? So skill shortages, assessing all these things becomes critical. The most significance of people analytics are data-driven decision-making, strategic alignment, and cost savings. You know, analytical thought process empowers HR professionals to make informed decisions based on objective data rather than subjective judgments. Strategic alignment happens with HRs with organizational goals, organizational development, training programs, and impact of their human capital on business performance. Cost savings. By optimizing recruitment, retention, performance management processes, your cost is reduced, turnover is reduced, and you improve operational efficiency. Competitive advantage. Organizations that leverage people analytics effectively gain a competitive edge by attracting and retaining top talent, fostering innovation, continuous improvement. People analytics enable HR departments to continuously monitor and refine their practices and policies to adapt a more evolving workplace or more agile workplace. The importance of people analytics lies in the ability to align HR strategies with organizational goals. You don't have to think of anything else. And it will improve decision-making process as we go forward. The data insights, the people analytics that enables HR professionals to make proactive and evidence-based decisions drives organizational success. When you align HR strategies with organizational goals, it creates a performance matrix so strong that you don't have to look at organizational performance. If you can collaborate with individual contributors, team contributors for their goals. So if their goals are made, automatically the organizational goals will be met. Benefits, data-driven talent acquisition, employee engagement, performance management, workforce planning, cost saving and ROI, strategic alignment. If you ask me, that's the most important part, cost savings and ROI. I mean, not all places you can work with ROI. People analytics will give you more, because if there is return on investment or if there is an effectiveness cost, the entire, every other thing, strategic alignment, workforce planning will fall into place. Because now they're going to have a clear-cut buy-in that yes, people analytics using AI works. Today in the modern world, I mean, if I put it in that way, it varies from organization to organization, but today's workforce dynamic depends on few factors like remote working, multi-generational workforce, diverse cultural backgrounds. So it's a complex. So HR has to manage all these things. HR has to manage remote work. I can give you a very good thought process. One day the HR head, we were having just a meeting in the company, and she said, you know, Gabriel, what can we do? Because the moment I go ahead and declare that we are starting from office, their parents call us, and because they have our numbers during COVID times for emergencies. So what do we do? So, you know, those things, multi-generational workforce, you know, diverse cultural backgrounds, they are layers to the complexity to HR management. And it is becoming, as we speak, day and day, becoming more complex and complex. You know, in the Zomato, Uber, the big firms that deliver persons and drivers, for example, are gig workers, such as economy is a gig economy. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it provides the tools and insights which are required to understand and navigate to complexities. Now, if you look at Zomato and Uber, so they are aggregators, right? I mean, they are not having any product. They just are mediators. So delivery persons and drivers, without whom they are nothing, are gig workers. And such economy is gig economy. And that, from a perspective from Zomato, you have to handle them. You have to handle their complexity. They come from different facts of life, different facets of life, different cultural ethnicity. I mean, and there are places where people have used bad language. I'm not saying everybody is perfect, but you have to, as a HR of Zomato, you have to understand the complexity of that people and how can you handle them. Not everybody might be on the payroll of the company, but yet they're working for you. Interactions, talent scarcity and competition, you know, finding and retaining top talent. I can go on with AI, generative AI, super AI, but finding and retaining top talent is one of the most biggest challenges for business across industries. I have not seen a single industry which have never spoken about of finding and retaining a top talent. They have done one strategy this year for retaining top talent. Suddenly in the next year, they feel, no, this is old now. We have to find something new. And that is where the HR functions becomes more critical. In a talent scarce market, organizations must leverage data-driven strategies to attract and engage and retain high-performing employees. I have given an example called Appreciation Week in a company. You know, in that Appreciation Week, one of the managers of a particular team, he had a 10-member team, he sent nothing but chocolate boxes worth 125 rupees to each and every team member's house. And he did it during COVID, and now he has made a mandate that during each time. A lot of people have asked me, you know, Gabriel, that's a cost to him. I mean, but look at something, leverages that he is doing. I mean, the team that he has built is one of the topmost performance of the company. And in the talent scarce market, if somebody leaves, he has to again start from scratch. So he's investing his own hard-earned money to do it. Is it the right way? I do not know. Is it the wrong way? No. Once in a year, 125 rupees into 10 people is 1250 rupees. Is it worthy? Yes. How? Engagement. And he never tells his team members what he's going to send this year. He has made it a point that 125. What has happened because of this? And because he spoke that in one of his review meeting to the HOD, the HOD started sanctioning budget for for all the divisional managers to do this kind of activities. He maintained a significant range. He made it, you cannot go beyond 200. So sometimes they send chocolate, sometimes a thank you card to the parents. You know how effective it is getting a beautiful collage card, printing it in the office, you know, binding with these things, putting it in the cover envelope of a company logo, and also, you know, pre-Diwali kind of a happiness orientation, greetings orientation. It works wonders. And that's why I have always said that data-driven strategies to attract and engage and retain high-performing employees. It will also help organizations identify talent gaps, assess recruitment effectiveness, and tailor-made retention strategies. Employees today have different expectations from their employers. I mean, back in the day, timely salary, promotion, good incentive, bonus, that's all. Today, where am I working? Am I being given? Today, if you see in LinkedIn, I mean, forget 5 years, COVID happened in 2020. So if I take 4 years, prior to that, have you seen anybody putting on LinkedIn telling that, you know, I was given a recommendation by this guy, or I have been given a top award by this? It was very rare. Now it is almost every now and then. When I look at my LinkedIn, I see every now and then somebody is appreciating someone. So they're using social media as a tool to gauge the changing employee expectations, the value, flexibility, meaningful work, career growth opportunities, and a positive work environment. You know, it also enables HR department to understand and respond to this changing expectations by listening to the employee feedback, by assessing the engagement levels, and designing employee-centric policies and programs. Agility and adaptability. You know, in real-time insight to a workforce trend, when organizations enable to take proactive decision and adjust their strategies, it's beyond that. Jeff Bezos, in one of his chat shows, he said that, you know, initially he knew all the warehouse owners and everyone just because of the growth and the scalable of the organization, he can't. But he ensures once in a quarter, he goes to, and it's a hectic day for him for 3 to 4 days. So that entire week, he goes to those warehouse owners, meets them, greets them, understand their thought process. And I mean, from his level, I mean, has he have to do that thing? So that agility and adaptability increases the organization's expectation, and that requires the ability to anticipate and respond quickly to changes. Data-driven decision-making, I've always said that as a medium throughout these chapters, by analyzing the workforce data, organizations can identify patterns, trends, and correlations that will create a strategic decision-making across HR functions, recruitment, performance management, training, organizational development. It also helps people or the HR professionals to base their decisions on empirical evidence of objective data. Cost optimization. One of the biggest thing of this is to help organizations cut down their cost. When I say cut down their cost, not like putting a scissor to it, but, you know, understanding the cost inefficiencies, reducing the turnover cost, maximizing the return on investment in human capital. By analyzing all those things, it increases performance, it increases employee engagement, retention, identify areas for improvement, targeted intervention can enhance productivity and efficiency. Risk management. With increasing regulations and security around employee practices, compliance and risk management have become critical priorities to organizations, one of the key aspects of people analytics. It helps organizations to ensure compliance, labor laws, regulations, ethics, and analyzing the HR data to identify potential risk or unfair practices. Strategic alignment. Once again, if the HR department aligns to the strategies with the broader organizational goals, you win. You understand how human capital can contribute to organizational performance, you win. When you develop initiatives that support the organization's strategic priorities, you win. When you take HR metrics into key performance indicators, business wins. When you take HR metrics to business outcome, organization wins. When you demonstrate the value of HR investment, you create a secure buy-in from senior leadership. That's your strategic alignment. The influence of technological advancement in people analytics. Now, what you need to understand is how technological advancement is influencing people in analytics. Now, the recommendations given here are typically from a conventional method. First, we do data collection. So technology has enabled to collection vast amounts of data from various sources, the integration, the automation, the organization of that data from various sources and creating a comprehensive overview of the workforce. The emergence of big data technologies and artificial intelligence has empowered organizations to analyze those large data sets. Predictive analysis and real-time monitoring, both technologies available there for real-time monitoring for performance management, workforce matrices, with up-to-date insights, with employee performance and sentiment. It also gives you real-time dashboards, which changes every day. So the Excel guy creates something using AI tools and just send the dashboard. The dashboard needs to be opened and refreshed, and it will be automatically giving you real-time analytics of it. So almost all the CEOs and the CHROs of the organization have that dashboard in their place in the morning. It kind of looking at what is going on, how many people left, how many people are there, and respond promptly to emerging issues. Experience platforms increases the employee experience. It incorporates analytics capabilities to track employee interactions and behaviors, providing personalized intuitive interface for employee to access HR services. A lot of places you don't have to go to an HR for an issue. So there is a web intranet, you click on this, it says what are the various things. If you need some learning, you're thinking of some doing a program, or you want to meet an HR BP, you click, then it says what is the issue, you click on the issue, and that particular system sends a mail to the respective HR BP, and the HR BP will meet you in 24 hours. That's the timeline that they follow. So by doing this, organizational gains employee preferences, needs, and satisfaction levels. Natural language processing, again, the analysis for unstructured data such as text from feedback and all these things. HR analytics tools will help you understand the implementation of people analytics initiatives, the pre-built analytics models, visualization capabilities, and user-friendly interfaces. Cloud-based solution is another one which is enabling organizations to access and analyze data from anywhere. I mean, you don't have to go to office to get the data. So you're geographically anywhere, and it increases your decision-making process. The impact, once again, almost the same as we spoke about, the predictive, the recruitment, the natural for text analysis, employee engagement and sentiment analysis, personalized learning and development, organizational development, workforce planning and optimization, retention, performance management and development. These are the four different types of people analytics that is there in the market. So if I'm looking at here, it talks descriptive analytics, diagnostic analytics, predictive analytics, and prescriptive analytics. Descriptive, diagnostic, predictive, prescriptive. We will try to understand all four of this, but the objective of this is very simple, whether individually or in combination will depend on the objectives of the analytics is the thought process. So the nature of data available, the analytics tools that is available, and the skills available. Descriptive is nothing but it's the most basic type where you pick up a historical data and you get insight from the past. It also uses as decision analytics. It uses statistical analysis techniques to explain, and it focuses on the past data to account for what happened, but doesn't make predictions for the future. So descriptive analytics or descriptive analysis is, I just go ahead and understand what the past data is all about. Descriptive analysis can also be used as an exploring the data by performing mathematical calculations such as central tendency, frequency, variation, ranking, range, deviation. These allow HR to see patterns, but they are not predictive. They are just giving you a set and a pattern. It can also help with assessing behavior, comparing characteristics, including calculating paid time off, which is typically like our paid leaves, employee turnover, efficiency matrix. Descriptive analysis could be used to calculate the employee turnover rates, compare the same between different locations, branches, department, or project teams. But remember, it is just a descriptive analytics. It is not a predictive. It will just give you a description of the past data what has happened. Diagnostic is something which determines the root cause analysis of the descriptive data. So you have gone ahead and found out that 10 years ago this region was highly successful. So you have a past data. Now diagnostic will let you know the root cause of why that region was so successful. Although based on the historical data, it will explain the reason behind data's strain, correlations, anomalies, patterns, variances, causal relationships. It also considers internal and external factors. So the difference between descriptive and diagnostic is descriptive will just give you the description of the past data, what happened, all these things. Diagnostic will give you the why part of it. So something has happened in the past. This is why it has happened. It could also, for example, be used to determine the reasons for increasing employee absenteeism or occur in the certain number of days. One of the most common reasons for absenteeisms are identified, then corrective strategies to mitigate those factors can be implemented. Predictive analysis, again based on the past and the current data. So now, descriptive analytics was past data, diagnostic was the root cause of the past data, predictive is based on the past and the current data, mixed prediction for the future, for planning, recruitment, performance training, developing, identifying current and future skills required. This improves the decision-making process. So we have to use all of them for the right talent. The predictive analytics processes involves categorizing past and present data to isolate patterns, correlations, and irregularities to estimate a model to predict which is most likely to occur in the future. For example, predictive analytics can be used to estimate the future requirement of skills and roles based on the business forecast, order books, or growth prediction. It also can analyze the hiring data based on job description or required skill. It also has certain elements of social media profiles, can reveal the attributes and indicate a candidate's suitability for the right fit. It also attributes towards existing better performing employees over a period of time. It's predictive analytics. It will always use past and current data for prediction of the future. If this person was supremely successful in the past and is currently successful now, what is the future prediction for that guy? It is also targeted recommendation for decision options based on predictive analytics. It uses big data, uses AI, ML algorithms, and NLP or text analysis. Prescriptive analytics works in a similar manner as the recommendation systems work. In Amazon and Netflix, based on the purchase behavior and the viewing behavior of the customer respectively. So how the person is purchasing a package and how the person is behaving. So for example, when I look at Netflix, I typically look at English movies. So off late, what I'm able to see is that Netflix is giving me all kinds of English movies. It's not that it doesn't give me Hindi, but mostly if there are five new things are coming up, four updates are about the English movies. It also anticipates the most likely scenarios where interventions have the potential to bring optimal results. For example, the staffing use case of prescriptive analytics, it can make recommendation for staffing needs based on the upcoming requirements and family leave, maternity and paternity policy, etc. It addresses the departures and long-term absences. Strategically managing talent, optimizing costs, supporting strategic planning, involving decision-making, highlighting the impact of HR initiatives on organizational performance.